God's message to the new believer, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 22. Acts 22. Now, before the Apostle Paul came to know Christ, before he was converted, before he was saved, he was a very devout, dedicated, religious person. He says in the third verse of this chapter, "I am verily a man which am a Jew. I was born in Tarsus." He was called Saul of Tarsus, "a city in Cilicia. I was brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, the most outstanding Jewish teacher of that day. I was taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and I was zealous toward God as you all are this day." I am a Jew, Paul said. I was born a Jew. I was educated by the highest ranking religious teacher. I was taught in the things of the Lord, and I was zealous for God. Zealous for God. Before Paul was converted, he not only was a devoutly religious man, but he hated the way of substitution. He hated salvation through Christ. He said in verse 4, "I persecuted this way." The very way in which I trust now, the very way in which I believe, the very way which I preach, the way of life by the cross, by Christ, I persecuted. Paul had no compassion on either men, women, or children who trusted the Savior. He said, "I persecuted them," look at verse 4, "even unto the death." He was a religious man, a zealously religious man, a devoutly religious man. But he hated salvation by grace through faith in Christ the Lord. Well, look at verse 7. He was brought down. He was humbled. He was brought down by God, and I fell to the ground. Now, this was for Paul, it is for anyone, a difficult experience. But happy is the day when God Almighty is pleased to humble a proud religious sinner. Happy is the day when God Almighty is pleased to show a proud religious sinner his guilt. Happy is the day when God Almighty is pleased to show us that our sins are against Christ. Listen to what the Lord said in verse 7. Paul fell to the ground, humbled, broken, and heard a voice which said to him, "Saul, why do you persecute men and women? Why do you persecute boys and girls?" That's not what the voice said. The voice said, "Saul, why persecutest thou me?" My friends, all sin is against Christ. Sin is against God. Repentance will never come to the heart until we see that our sins are against God. David said this. He said, "O Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Why persecutest thou me?" And Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." Now look at verse 10. Paul said, "I was then ready to listen. I was religious. I hated the way of substitution. I hated the way of Christ. I hated redemption through the blood. I did everything in my power to destroy it. I did everything in my power to bring hurt and to those that taught it. And then God humbled me. God brought me down. And I was ready to listen." He said, "O Lord, what shall I do?" Proud religious zealots are not ready to listen to God. But convicted, broken sinners are ready to hear His word. Happy is the day when a man is brought to the place where he's willing and ready to listen to God. "Lord, what will thou have me do?" Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And then in verse 12, God sent a man to Paul. Now, my friends, even the glorious apostle, even the glorious writer of Scripture, even the glorious founder of churches, even the glorious apostle to the Gentile, Paul, must hear the gospel from the lips of a man. Lord, what will you have me do? And the Lord said, you go to Damascus, and it'll be told thee what thou shalt do. In verse 12, and one Ananias, a man, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews that dwelt there, came unto me. Now, when the fear of sin's guilt and the fear of God's wrath and the fear of the broken law grip the heart, a man's ready to listen to the Word of God from God's preacher. And that's the place to which God brought this proud religious sinner. He brought him to the place where he was willing to listen to a man. You see what I'm saying? Paul had all the answers. He was religious. He was schooled in theology. He was brought up with a proud heritage. He'd been religious all his life. From a child, he'd been in the temple, in the synagogue. He hated the way of grace. He hated the way of substitution. He hated the way of Christ. And he spoke against it. And not only did he speak against it, but he really tried to destroy it. So God had to bring him down. God had to humble him. God had to bring him down to the dust. God had to shut his mouth. God had to bring him to the place where he was broken and blinded, dependent on somebody else. Somebody else took him by the arm and led him. And he cried, well, what shall I do? And the Lord said, now you go to Damascus and you wait right there and I'll send somebody to you and he'll tell you what to do. And when this proud, religious persecutor was brought to his knees, God sent a man to speak to him, and Paul was ready to listen. Paul was ready to listen. Rare is it to find a man who has been so humbled and so broken and made so aware of his sins against God that he's ready to listen to God. But God sent by Ananias to Paul a fivefold message. I want to give it to you. Now, Ananias came to Paul. Here he was, humbled, broken, the proud sinner brought down, knowing nothing, having nothing, possessing nothing, contributing nothing, just empty. He read to listen. So Ananias came to him and stood and said to him, verse 13, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour, my sight came back to him, and I looked at him. I looked at God's preacher, God's messenger. Now Ananias came with God's message. We know this. Here was the sinner ready to hear. Here was the sinner broken by the Spirit of God. Here was the sinner, the proud Pharisee, as a little child, humbled as a little child, ready to hear God speak, and God's messenger come. Now this is what he said. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Now my friends, there is only one way to preach the truth, and that is to preach it. Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. There is no season for preaching certain parts of the Bible. Preach the whole Word of God. Paul said to those people in Antioch, I've kept back nothing profitable unto you. I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Now, there's only one way to preach the Word, and that's preach it. There is, listen to me, there is no way that you can make the truth of God acceptable to a natural man. You can't do it. And the preachers may get the idea that they can so word their sermons that the natural man will receive it, rejoice in it. But there is no way to make the truth of God acceptable to a natural man. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now listen to this scripture. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, the truth of the Spirit of God, the way of the Spirit of God, the message of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually understood. Now he that's spiritual, he that's of God, judgeth or discerneth all things, yet he himself is discerned or understood of no man. There's no way to make the truth of God understandable and acceptable to a natural man. So the only thing to do is just to preach the Word. And that's what I intend to do. And that's what Ananias did when he came to Saul of Tarsus here, the new believer, the man with whom God was moving and working. And he said to him, the first thing he said to him, Saul, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Now, my friends, God Almighty is either absolutely sovereign in all things, or he isn't. He's either sovereign in creation or he isn't. He's either sovereign in providence or he isn't. He's either sovereign in salvation or he isn't. And when I say sovereign, I mean all-powerful, almighty, all-wise, working all things after the counsel of his own will, doing what he will, when he will, with whom he will. He's sovereign. He either is or he isn't. God is either the first cause of all things or he isn't. God either chose a people in Christ, as he said, or he didn't. Here Ananias, the servant of God, said to Saul, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. That's his first word. That's the first part of his message. He walked up to this man who had been brought down, who had been humbled, who had seen this great vision, and he said, God did this, you didn't do it. God chose you. In Ephesians 1, verse 3 through 4, Paul said this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. He chose us. Christ said to his disciples, You didn't choose me, I chose you. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul said this, He said, We're bound to give thanks always to you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. I challenge you, my friend, to buy you a Bible and along with it a concordance and look up the word elect, elected, election, and chosen and chose and read those scriptures. And let them stand just like God wrote them. Just like you let John 3:16 stand, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You leave that stand just like it is. Well, also let this stand. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Let it stand. God Almighty either chose a people in Christ, as He said, or He didn't. Christ, our substitute on Calvary, either completely redeemed the people, put away their transgressions, washed away their sins, reconciled them to God, or He didn't. The Holy Spirit either effectually calls us, irresistibly calls us to faith through the Word of God, not apart from the Word of God, or He didn't. And God's people who are chosen in Christ and given to Christ and redeemed by Christ and accepted in Christ will persevere in faith. And they will be conformed to the image of God's Son, all of them, or none of them will. It's just that plain. And I know that we must preach the truth in compassion. We must preach a balanced message, but God never used ever in history a balanced man. The men God uses, and you check this through the Word of God, are extremists. Men who so believe a thing and are so possessed with it and so dedicated to it that they preach it and declare it and stand for it, whatever the cost. And men who seek to be balanced, and men who seek to be accepted, and they're going to try to get men to hear their message and believe their message while really not preaching their message, are usually compromisers. And God doesn't use compromisers. Let those who will apologize for God, apologize for His Word. But I know this, if God had not chosen me, I'd have never chosen Him. If God had not loved me first, I would have never loved Him. If God Almighty had not singled me out and searched for me and found me and brought me home on the shoulders of the loving shepherd, I'd still be out there in the wilderness. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. And Ananias walked up to Saul of Tarsus, and the first thing he said to him was, "This salvation is not of man, it's not of the will of man, it's not of the will of the flesh, it's of God." That's the first thing that he wanted Paul to understand. That God had chosen him, that God had arrested him, that God Almighty had shown favor to him. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Look at the second thing that he said to him. He said, "Brother Saul, receive thy sight. The God of thy fathers hath chosen thee. Secondly, that thou shouldest know His will." Now, my friends, Saul knew God's will of commandment. Saul knew God's will of commandment. Saul knew the Old Testament. He just got through saying back in verse 3 that he was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. Saul had been to college. He'd been to the seminary. Saul was a student of God's Word. He knew God's will of command revealed in the law, as most men do. We're taught. If we're not taught by conscience, we are taught by conscience, but not only that, we're taught as we grow up in Sunday school. We're not always taught right, but we're taught anyway. Most people know something about the Bible, not as much as Saul knew, but they know something about the Bible. But Saul was ignorant of the revealed will of God in redemption. That's what he's talking about here. "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know His revealed will of redemption," His will of salvation by Christ. "This is the will of God, our sanctification by Christ's righteousness." Saul didn't know anything about that. Saul knew the will of command. Saul knew the law. Saul knew the histories. Saul knew the traditions. Saul knew all these things, but he didn't know God's will of redemption. How God would justify us by the blood of Christ. How God would accept us in the Beloved. How God would receive us by Christ's intercession. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Turn with me to John 6. I think this will help us here. God hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will. In John chapter 6, verse 38, listen carefully to this. John 6, 38. Christ said in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is what Saul didn't know, God's will of redemption, the will which Christ came to accomplish, the will which Christ came to perform, the will which Christ came to effect. I came down from heaven not to do my own will. I came to do the will of him that sent me. And listen, this is the Father's will which has sent me. Now, here, if I can learn this, I'll know God's will of redemption. This is what God wills for us to know, that you should know his will. That of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing. That first is God's will. Now, how in the world a preacher can say he's a messenger of God and he preaches the word of God, and he does not preach God's everlasting covenant of grace, when Christ our Lord said from his own mouth that he came down here to do the Father's will, and the first part of the Father's will is this, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing. All that he gave to me in the covenant of mercy. This is serious, isn't it? All that he gave to me in the covenant of grace, all which he purposed to redeem by my sacrifice, by my blood, by my offering, I'm not going to lose one of them. God is a covenant God. If you read the Old Testament, you'll find he made a covenant with Abraham, and that covenant was kept at all costs. God made a covenant with David. That covenant was kept. God made a covenant with Noah. That covenant was kept. And God Almighty, back yonder before the foundation of the world, made a covenant with his Son. Verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. How do you handle that? And verse 39, and the Lord Jesus deliberately, positively stated, I came down here to do the Father's will, and this is his will, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing. Look at the next statement. But I shall raise it up again at the last day. All that back yonder before the foundation of the world he gave to me, out yonder in eternity, out yonder in the completeness or completion of time and the fullness of time, the day of resurrection, the day of my coming, those are the ones I'm going to raise. That's my Father's will. Now, Ananias stood here by Saul of Tarsus, who had been convicted, awakened, brought down from his religious pedestal to the dust. God showed him that what he knew was wrong, where he was going was wrong, the direction he was going was wrong, and sat him down. God sent his servant to him and said, this is what I want you to hear. I chose you. I chose you that you should know my will. What is his will? The Savior tells us what his will is, that of all which he hath given me, I'm not going to lose one of them from the time he gave them to me to the time I resurrect them. All of them. I'm not going to lose one of them. All that he gave me, I'm going to resurrect. All right, look at the next verse. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son Everyone that has his eyes opened by the Holy Spirit. Not everyone that sees him physically, because a lot of people saw him physically that never were converted, never loved him, never believed on him, never received him. We're not talking about visions here. We're not talking about bodily eyesight. We're talking about eyes of faith. Everyone that seeth the Son, whose eyes are opened by the Holy Spirit, who sees him in his redemptive character, who sees him in his redeeming work, who sees him in his redemptive glory, who sees him as representative, as substitute, as sacrifice for sin, as a sin offering, who sees him as justifier of the ungodly. Everyone that sees him, read on, and believes on him, may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. That's the Father's will. Unfortunately, that's not being preached. Unfortunately, our churches and the leaders of our churches are in the same shape Saul was in before God met him. They're zealous for God, theologically exact, orthodox, tradition-minded, going about their ceremonies. God set this man down. He said, now, I chose you that you might know my will of redemption, my will of salvation. This is my will, that all that I gave to my Son, he's not going to lose a one of them. He'll raise them up at the last day. And they're going to see the Son with eyes of faith. They're going to see him in his redemptive character. They're going to see him. They're going to see him. Salvation is not making a decision to live right. Salvation is not making a decision to go to heaven when you die. Salvation is not making a decision to accept certain doctrines and start believing the Bible. Salvation is to see the Son. To see him in his redemptive character, to see him in his redemptive glory, is to believe on him. And everyone that sees him and believes on him, God says, I'm going to give him eternal life. That's my will. All right, what's the third thing? The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will. Now the third thing, and see. Saw that you might see that just one. Now, Paul actually saw the Lord with the eyes of this body. That's right. He saw the Lord. As one of the requirements for being an apostle, having seen the Lord. Paul saw the Lord. But the reference here is to seeing him with eyes of understanding. Paul saw Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the sent one. But Saul saw him as the just one. Capital J-U-S-T, capital O-N-E, the just one. He saw him as the just one. How do you see Christ? As a babe in the manger? You've missed him. How do you see Christ? As a revolutionary? You've missed him. How do you see Christ? As a little mealy-mouthed fella going around trying to get along with everybody? You've missed him. How do you see Christ? As a healer? You've missed him. How do you see Christ? As a poor, frail, helpless thing hanging on a cross? You've missed him. You've missed him. Have you seen him as the just one? Now, you think this is not important. You go back to sleep. Or you going back to your tradition. But God Almighty sent this message to Saul of Tarsus. And this is the first message he sent to him. This is God's message to the new believer. He said, I chose you. And I chose you that you might know my will. My will of redemption. and that you might see the just one. And that's capitalized because it's Christ, capital J-U-S-T, the just one. Have you seen the just one? What do you mean just, preacher, the just one? First of all, he is just before God, righteous. The Heavenly Father said from glory, "This is my beloved Son, the perfect one, in whom I'm well pleased." This is he. He is just before men, even Pilate. Oh, if Pilate could. If Pilate could have. He would have, if he could have done it, he would have found some fault with him. Oh, he wanted to. But he had to say, "I find no fault in this man." The just one. Just before God, and just before men, and just before the Lord. The law tested in all points, and yet without sin. Have you seen Christ as the righteous one? The one who came down from heaven and clothed himself in a human body and was tried and tested and tempted in all points as we are. Falsely accused, hated, despised, rejected, spit upon. And yet he never hated. And yet he never rebelled. And yet never through his mind went one thought of vengeance. Have you seen him as the righteous one, our representative? Have you seen him, the righteous one, as our high priest? On that cross of Calvary, bearing in his body our sins and consequently the wrath of God against our sins? Have you seen him as the scapegoat, answering not a word, silent before his enemies, as the sins of his people were laid upon him and then laid out in that awful wilderness, that barren, thirsty wilderness of loneliness, forsaken of the Father? Have you seen him, the righteous one, at God's right hand as our mediator, pleading for our acquittal? Have you seen the just one? Is all you've seen a babe in a manger? Is all you've seen, is this all you've seen? A fella walking down a dusty road healing the sick? A fellow going to a cross and dying and being buried and even rising again? Or have you seen him, the just one, taking the place of his people, of sinners, and bearing their shame and guilt, and as the perfect, holy one, obeying the law on their behalf, just before God, just before the law, just before men, just before heaven? Free from the law, oh happy condition, the just one has died, and there is remission. I was cursed by the law, I was bruised by the fall, but the just one hath redeemed me once for all. Now I am free, there's no condemnation. The just one has provided a perfect salvation. Come unto me. Oh, hear his sweet call. Come, the just one saves us once for all. Children of God, oh, glorious calling, surely the just one can keep me from falling. Passing from death to life at his call. Blessed salvation in the just one once and for all. Have you seen him? Have you seen him? Brethren, as we do not preach baptismal regeneration for infants, now listen, we do not preach decisional regeneration for adults. Baptismal regeneration is to put water on the forehead of a baby and call it regenerated. Decisional regeneration is just as deadly, just as false. It's to tell people, come down to the front of a church and God will save them. And pronouncing them saved because they fulfill what you told them to do. That's decisional regeneration, and it's not so.
Salvation is to see the just one. It's to see him. I don't mean at night on your bed in a dream or a vision. I don't mean under religious hypnosis and mass psychology to see some sort of vision. I mean as a sinner, to see Christ as your representative. As a sinner, to see Christ as your mediator. As a sinner, to see Christ as your advocate. As a sinner, to see Christ as your substitute. As a sinner, to see Christ as your high priest. As a sinner, to see Christ as your intercessor. As a dead man, to see Christ as your life. As a naked man, to see Christ as your clothing. As a sick man, to see Christ as your remedy. It's to see the just one. You see what I'm saying? And believe on him. And that's salvation. All right, the fourth thing that the prophet said, the preacher said, that you might see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. Verse 14. And this is what he's saying here. The Father, God has chosen you that you might know his will of redemption, that you might see the just one, and that you might hear a message from his own lips. Now, if the Holy Spirit anoints our ears to hear a message from his lips, what are we going to hear? Well, from the pulpit at Nazareth, here's what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good news to the humble. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He hath sent me to proclaim liberty to captives. He hath sent me to give sight to the blind. He hath sent me to open the prison to those who are bound. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what you'd hear him say. Or on the streets of the city, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Have you heard that word? At the feast, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. At the Last Supper, this is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood which is shed for you. Drink ye all of it. On the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. On the Mount of Ascension, you disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. On the throne of glory, from Revelation 1:18, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and death. That's what you'd hear. And Saul, the God of our fathers chose you that you should know his will of redemption, that your eyes might be anointed by the Holy Spirit to see the just one and to hear the good news from his lips, the good news of redemption, the good news of salvation, and that you should be, verse 15, his witness unto all men of what you have seen and what you've heard. We preach not ourselves. I don't preach myself as an example. I preach Christ as Redeemer. We're not seeking our glory. If we are, we're not servants of Christ. We preach Christ. I am determined, Paul said, after this experience, I am determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. My friends, even the Almighty, Sovereign, Holy Ghost doesn't speak of himself. Christ said, when He is come, the Holy Spirit, He shall not speak of Himself. He shall not glorify Himself. He shall take the things of mine and show them to you. He shall glorify Me. Ananias didn't come here to Saul of Tarsus, a convicted, broken sinner, and say, Saul, I'll tell you what my credentials are. I came from a certain school and a certain theological seminary, and I've come here to teach you what we Baptists believe. He came to him and said, Saul, God chose you that you should know His will, that you might see the just one, that you might hear a message from His lips, and that you might go out and tell others what you've seen and what you've heard, that you might be His witness. We preach that sinners might come to the feet of Christ, that sinners' hearts might be filled with a love for Christ, that the sinner's mind might be filled with thoughts of Christ, that the sinner's feet might be brought to walk in the way of Christ, that the sinner's will might be brought to subjection to the living Christ. May it be so. Our Father, take the message and use it to accomplish Thy purpose for me, for every person here, for this church and for Thy kingdom, wherever it is proclaimed, wherever it is heard. May Christ our Lord be glorified. Turn our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us look full into His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.